Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 103. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. And in this episode this week, as I mentioned, we are turning to the dark side a little bit and talking about that topic that not a lot of people in the tech industry want to talk about, at least in the Linux world. We're going to dive deep into some iOS app picks this week, and we're going to talk about all of my favorite apps this week that I'm using in production. Last week, we talked about a bunch of different tools that I use in production, whatever hat that I was wearing. And I talked about Windows, I talked about Mac, talked about Linux, I talked about all the things I do, the many different hats I wear. In this week's episode, what I'd like to do is just take a walk through, and every once in a while, what I would like to do is go through some iOS app picks that I have for anybody out there using iOS, whether it's your iPhone or iPad, anything like that. And hopefully it might come in handy, useful for some of you out there who are listening to this podcast. So before I get into that, though, there's a couple of things that I want to talk about. Just recently, I have run into the infamous iPhone 6S battery issue. And one of the things that I had problems with is my battery is mostly on the charger for a long time. And I know that's not great to do, but I set my phone to charge all night. And then I am basically out of cell service for most of my drive. So as I'm listening to podcasts in the car, I usually have it plugged in so I don't drain the battery. And then when I'm at work, my battery drains slowly throughout the day because it's looking for a cell tower and it can't find one. So throughout the day, I have to end up putting it on the charger, which isn't good. And again, I plug it in on my way home from work and then use it for the rest of the day, and it's fine. Well, over time, that's not really great for batteries. And my battery finally was on the fritz. It would go from 30% to 80% to 50% to 90%, and it would jump back and forth anytime that I tried to charge it. So I decided it was finally time to bring it into an Apple store and have the battery replaced, because I heard that the deal, because of a particular lawsuit on this issue, Apple is now giving batteries away for $29, which is a relatively low price. So the issue is that the nearest Apple store was 3 hours away. But it just so happens that I was going to a family event in the same general area. And so I decided to bring it into the Apple store, expecting that they were going to tear my phone apart and then find something else that was wrong with my phone and make me pay for whatever that was, or tell me that my phone has gotten wet and they can't fix it under warranty or something like that. I was expecting some sort of upscale in charge from the $29. So I walked into the Apple store, and I was actually early for my appointment. And basically, I said, I'm here early. I've got a family event. Is there any way I can get in early? And they said, sure, we can get you in about 15 minutes. Well, in about 5 minutes, basically, I was greeted by a specialist, then forwarded on to a genius who checked me in, and they explained to me the same thing that I just said, that they could open up the phone and they could find more issues, and that if it has gotten wet, it's dangerous and they can't do it under warranty. So, and here we go. I was expecting all of that. So I dropped the phone off, and they told me it's going to take 2 hours, and I was just debating whether or not I was going to go to this family event and then come back, or just wait it out and be a little late for the family event. So I waited about an hour, got some lunch, and then I went back to the Apple store. My phone was done. In the meantime, I had switched over my phone service from my current phone to my old 5S, and just so I had a phone while I was driving. So when the phone was done, $29 plus tax, they replaced the battery, and I was good to go. Well, to make a long story short, one of the things that I did after visiting the Apple store is I didn't have a lot of the pre-installed apps on my iPhone 5S. And this area I used to live in, the Albany area of Albany, New York. And I decided to pull out Apple Maps and I decided to see if that's improved over the last few years. And I was really pleasantly surprised on how well and how far Apple Maps has come along over the last few years. And so I plugged in the destination to where I was going, and I was really impressed compared to the level that Google Maps is at. There's been a lot of issues with Apple Maps over the last several years. You've heard the horror stories of people trying to go from one place to another, getting completely lost or going way off track, and Apple Maps being the one and only cause to that. Well, I was thoroughly impressed. Using on a 5S, had no issues whatsoever. But during that time, during that travel time, I have, several weeks ago, I mentioned a great book that I was reading, Steve Wozniak book called iWoz. iWoz was basically Steve Wozniak's story of the creation of Apple. And, I mentioned that a few weeks ago, but, I came across a really fascinating book that I think any tech enthusiast would really enjoy, reading. And the name of the book is called The One Device: The Secret History of the iPhone. It's by Brian Merchant, and this audiobook was narrated by Tristan Morris. It's about 14 and a half hours long. I had a 6-hour drive, so I took a good chunk of the book out of the way. It's got 4.5 stars in Audible right now, and there's about 500 ratings. A fairly recent book, came out about a year ago, and the book itself was nothing what I expected it to be. The author of the book, Brian Merchant, is not a tech journalist by any means, but he went on this journey and traveled all around the world to places where the iPhone materials are developed and created. So to give you an example, he went to a lithium mine, where they mine lithium, and then they transfer it to all of these different stations in, say, South America, and then how that lithium is produced and then transferred to all of the different vendors that need lithium, and how basically these mines are stripped of everything that they have. There's only most of the lithium that's out there comes from this one particular mine, and they do have sources that are available. They have other mines that they can mine in the future. So then he goes on to talking with the creator of this mine and the creator of the lithium ion battery, I should say, and how he's talking about going on to the future of the next battery that's out there, the next type of battery, which will be a sodium-based battery, and that should last twice as long as a lithium ion battery. It was really a fascinating look at where the battery technology is going to. And then he travels, he tells the story of how Steve Jobs basically wanted to convince the world that multi-touch was invented by Apple. And he goes and talks with the actual inventor of multi-touch, which was developed at actually CERN, where the Large Hadron Collider is now. But in the 70s at CERN, they needed a multi-touch interface, and that's where it was developed. And so all of these different components that goes into the iPhone, he does an excellent job telling where everything came from, the technology behind it, not just the phone itself. And I really think anybody interested in technology would really love this book, because it talks so much more about not just the iPhone, but technology in general, multi-touch, where aluminum comes from, the process in which these phones, not only iPhones, but any phone, Samsung, whatever, what have you, was created, in the factories in China. He actually snuck into a factory and was actually able to see where these phones are being developed. He talked with vendors on the street who basically sell iPhones that supposedly quote unquote, fell off the truck. And he basically goes from the origins of the technology through the creation of the iPhone and then passed it into like e-waste. And it's a really incredible book. And I can't speak highly enough of it. I did not expect to like this book as much as I did. But that book is called The One Device, The Secret History of the iPhone. And I highly encourage anybody out there to read this book and let me know what you think about it, because it's pretty awesome. So we had a little rough start here. I was going to stream this show live on Discord, but boy, that Mac bug just keeps coming up and sneaking up on me here. There's a bug in the Mac app which just does not allow me to stream live on Discord for some reason. Thanks everybody for tuning in the chat room today as we record this podcast. So here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to go through and show you some tools that I have. First, on this very first iOS app review, I'm going to show you, talk about some tools that I use. I'm going to talk about my everyday use for the iPad and basically how my workflow works. I've got an iPhone and I've got an iPad, and I have them both basically set up almost identical so that all of the apps that I use are on both devices. And they're set up on the same home screen. Basically, the apps are all in the same spot. And that way, whether I'm going from iPhone to iPad, I know where everything is. I know where all the apps are, knowing all the tools that I need to use, etc. And it makes for a really easy workflow. So I don't know if anybody out there is using a similar technique for their devices, whether Android or Windows Mobile or whatever. But that's what I do. And really try to make that workflow from device to device similar. It just helps me get work done. So currently I am running iOS 11.4, which is the latest release on both of my devices. iOS 12, if you're interested, the iOS 12 public beta is out. And the beta is now available if you are in that developer program. And I believe in order to try the public beta out, I believe you have to pay $99 a year to become a developer. And if you are a part of that, that's great. I unfortunately am not, but iOS 12 will be out in the fall. And it has a lot of great features, some of which I mentioned a few weeks ago in my WWDC 2018 show. So iOS 12, I'm looking forward to, but I'm currently running iOS 11.4. Now, there's a lot of apps that I use on the iPad, and I'm going to try to skip through the more boring, mundane apps. I'm just going to talk about some of the apps that I have come across recently that you may or may not find on Android. I am not sure off the top, but I'm sure there are similar apps. But the first one that I want to talk about is called 5.0 Radio. It's a scanner app that allows you to tune into police and fire radio frequencies in the area. I can pick up in the two counties that I am in the most in New York State, I can pick up police, fire, and emergency services throughout the area. And I've never was a big scanner person. I basically never wanted to hear the radio, but more and more I've been curious about, you know, when you hear a fire truck go by or something, what's going on close by. And it's really a great tool to kind of know what's going on. You know, especially in these times, you may want to know what's going on in your neighborhood. And that 5.0 radio app is a great scanner tool. You type in your general location and then you're good to go. Other than that, there are various social media apps that I use. Not really wanting to get into that. A great tool that I use a lot for collaborating in the home use, I use Wunderlist. Wunderlist is a great app if you want to make lists and share it with other users in your house. Say you want to make a grocery list, and rather than using paper, you know, you can communicate between various people who need those things. And the Wunderlist app really does it. You just add a person, add an email account to the person that you want to share it with, and then you can collaborate and add things to the list back and forth. Really just a really easy way to make sure that you don't forget the milk, so to speak. Coming up next, I'm an Amazon Prime subscriber, so I use things like Amazon Prime Video, Amazon Music. Those tools are really great, especially working with Apple TV. Amazon Prime Video has just come out on Apple TV. My TV that I have is a not-so-intelligent TV. It's a smart TV, but it's not quite the best smart TV, let's say. And it does have a Prime Video app on it, but it never really works that great. But having these apps on an iOS device streaming to something like Apple TV works really, really well. Being a big movie person, I really enjoy watching movies. I always have the IMDb app available. If you've never been to the Internet Movie Database, anytime if you're watching a movie, you know, and you're curious about who's in it, what other movies they've been in, IMDb is the place to go. Great resource for movie trivia, that type of thing. Really, just a quick, I use it infrequently, but if I'm ever curious about something that I'm watching, that's usually my go-to app for pop culture, so to speak. Sort of one of the more techie apps that I have is on Android devices, you probably have fairly easy access to terminal apps, especially if you rooted your Android device or something like that. Well, on iOS, they don't really let you do that very easily. But over the last couple of years, there have been several apps that have been made available. One of them called Terminus. That's an app that I can use to have a terminal on my iPad or iPhone, which has come in really handy for my IRLP node that I have set up at school. If I wanted to SSH into that IRLP node, I've got my terminal app on my phone, just checking the status of making sure the radio setup is still connected to the internet or needs to run sudo apt-get upgrade, update, or whatever you would need to do. I can do from home, which is pretty awesome. That way, say over the summer, I don't need to actually drive into work to make changes on that system. So having it basically at my fingertips, so to speak, is extremely helpful. I forgot to mention that I do have a Zag case for my iPad, the Zag keyboard. In previous years, I've had smaller iPads. I've had the iPad Mini. I believe it was the iPad Mini 2. And for a long time, I wanted a keyboard case, and I couldn't find one that I actually liked. And I kept thinking, would I actually use one? The iPad that I have is the iPad Pro 9.7. It is a completely different device when I have a keyboard attached to it. I never thought I would like to have a keyboard attached to a tablet, but it's so easy to remove the iPad. Use it as a tablet without a keyboard. Having that keyboard interface makes it almost like having a small laptop. There are some differences, obviously. Another app that I use, I've been talking quite a bit about, is Plex. I use Plex for media consumption, whether it's music, whether it is photos, videos, even gotten into the podcasting portion of Plex recently. Just to talk a little bit about that, I'm not really a big fan of the Plex podcast app. The only reason for that is I've mentioned this a little bit on Discord. The only reason for that, you have to go into the media server, the browser itself, and log into Plex on a computer and then add your podcast feeds there. That's not how I listen to podcasts. I'd like to add my RSS feed right from my device and basically just be able to have all of my media there available to me whenever I need it. Okay, next up is a few things that I've been trying out recently. I saw this game on, I think it was a social media ad. If you've never played this game before, it's pretty addicting. The name of the game is Snake versus Block. And if you ever remember the Snake games of old, whether you're using Ubuntu or your old cell phone, like Nibbles, that type of game, this game is pretty addicting. Basically, you have a snake, and as you're going along, you hit these numbers 1 through 8 or 9 or 10, and your snake will grow as time goes on. You have to make your way through these blocks that chip away at the snake as you go through them. It's a pretty addicting game, and it's a lot of fun to play. Has some mixed reviews, though, and here's why. Because of all of the ads that are in this game is overwhelmed with ads. And basically you have one turn and then there's a 30 second ad. You have another turn, there's another 30 second ad. Almost to the point where I wanted to delete the app. Basically the idea here is they wanted you to pay the $2.99 for the app. So I did that. I really liked the game. I wanted to remove the ads and paid the $2.99 and I still had ads. So I deleted the app and I put it, installed it back on the iPad and still had ads. I wasn't really sure what was going on. I tried to delete it again, reinstalled the app, and most of the ads went away. The problem with that, though, is that there was still an occasional ad here or there. And I gave them a 1-star review on the App Store because I paid $2.99 to remove all of the ads. And so it was poor marketing on their terms. The game itself is a lot of fun. I encourage anybody to try it, but you got to be patient with those ads. If anybody has questions in on the chat, just feel free to chime in at any point in time. I'm just going through everything that I use on a frequent basis. I don't play a whole lot of games when it comes to iOS devices. The Snakes versus Block is one of the first ones that I played in a really long time. Most of the apps I have used are production stuff. Another app that I use quite a bit, I've mentioned in the show before, is Nextcloud. I just recently discovered that there is a new Nextcloud Talk app, which is something you can connect to your Nextcloud account, similar to, say, your Messages app or I haven't discovered yet if you can do video along it or if it's just like a messaging app itself. I've got to dive deep. I just installed it yesterday. I'm really looking forward to taking a look at it. Okay, moving along. I use several navigation apps. I told you about Apple Maps and Google Maps. I also have Google Earth installed. A lot of times if I'm walking or if I'm traveling somewhere, I like to use Google Earth to see how far I've traveled or in the distance in miles or feet or whatever it is that I want to do. If I walk a dog, my dog on certain streets in the city, I like to see how far I've gone. Google Earth does all that. I really enjoy doing that itself. Next up, I want to get into some of the music apps that I use. Again, wearing many hats, there's a lot of things that I use in the music world, and that's the sole reason why I have an iPad. There are other tools that have come along in the last few years. I use an app called iReel Pro, which basically lets you learn how to play various styles of music and improvisatory types of music like jazz. You get to learn some of the standards. It gives you chord changes, gives you progressions that you can learn to take solos over so that you can practice before you go out and perform. I have a metronome that helps you practice and helps you keep your steady pulse as you're trying to practice music. I have a tuner. I have a music reading app called Fourscore that I really love. Basically allows you to turn your tablet or device into a digital music folder. And you can store all of your music on your device and bring your iPad instead of a large folder of music. I question the legality of that. Because technically most music is copyrighted, but if you're somebody who writes your own music, it's a really great app. Another app that I've just started hearing about recently, if you haven't checked this out, this might be something that you're interested in. If you really like listening to music, the YouTube music app has just come out recently, and I find it a much easier way to find great music on YouTube, especially on mobile devices. I never really liked the YouTube app for mobile, But if you're somebody who listens to a lot of music on YouTube, I think the YouTube Music app would be something great for you to try out. Give that a shot and let me know what you think about it. I just recently installed the MuseScore app. A few weeks ago, we interviewed Daniel Ray on the show, and the MuseScore app lets you read scores that you have created in MuseScore, and you can read them right on your iOS device. Very easy to put everything together on that. I use a lot of different podcast apps, a lot of apps for the podcast. When I originally started this show, when I was not a part of Podnuts, I used Spreaker, Spreaker, Spreaker.com was where I originally hosted my shows, created an RSS feed, then connected it to iTunes. Spreaker was a great way to start. It helps you stream your shows automatically to YouTube. Did put a Spreaker ad on YouTube if you didn't pay for the service, but that was okay. It was a way to get started, and they had several apps. They have the Spreaker app, and then they have the Spreaker Studio app that lets you even record right to an iPad or iOS device, so you don't need a computer to record a podcast. That was a great way to start. I also use like G+, and I use the YouTube Studio app to manage all of the content on YouTube. If you haven't seen my YouTube channel, I do have a YouTube channel where I post all of the shows. And the YouTube Studio app is really great mobile interface for the Creator Studio for YouTube. And the other thing that I like to use is Google Analytics. I really enjoy the Google Analytics map for monitoring my various websites. It's almost as good as the web browser interface. It gives you all the same information, whether it's website behavior or stats on how many people have come to your website, that type of thing. So those are the tools that I sort of use in the podcast world. In the amateur radio world, I have the Echolink app, which is basically digital radio over the internet. You can talk to anybody over the world if you have an amateur radio license. QRZ is a call sign search. So if you're looking for somebody in specifically, or you want to check someone's call sign validity, QRZ will do that. And you have to present your call sign first in order to be a part of that program. There's the Repeater Book app, which gives you access to all the repeaters in the area close by to where you are. And there's even a Morse code app that I'm trying to eventually get into where I will learn how to understand Morse code and be able to use it in the future. And that app is called Morse It. I'm really looking forward to getting into that. I haven't had a whole lot of time to get into that particular app in itself, but I do have it on my devices. Other than that, everything else that I use is really geeky stuff, whether it's the Space Launch Now app, which gives you all the recent launches that are coming up in the rocket world's space launch schedule. There's a SpaceX Now app as well for all of the SpaceX launches. And the other apps that I use in the space world, so to speak, I've mentioned the ISS Spotter app where you can watch the space station come overhead. The ISS HD Live app where you can actually tune into the live footage, whether it's, I believe it's HD footage. I'm not sure they're in 4K yet, but you can actually see 24-hour usually footage of the cameras overlooking Earth from the space station. Usually you're in for a real treat with all of the different views from space. Is really neat. I get into things like the Sky Tracker Light app, which lets you chart stars from up above. Same thing with the Night Sky app. You can point your phone or iOS device into the sky, and you can map out constellations for those who like to do that. That has come in handy when I was trying to set up a telescope that I had recently bought used, and trying to find out what constellation I should be looking for. So all of these different tools are really great for and the different hobbies that I'm involved with. And so, like I said, to wear many hats, and these different tools are available. Most of them are for free. And I'm pretty cheap when it comes to buying apps. I don't like to spend money on apps at all. Some of these may cost a dollar or two, but I don't think I've ever paid more than that for an app. Just a few more here that I'd like to go over. GeoGuessr is a pretty cool app. If you're looking for just kind of a way to explore the world, you can play as basically a single player, and it shows you an image of some random spot in the world. And then you pick a location where you think that picture came from, and you earn points based on how close and relatively that you were to that one spot. So you kind of get to take a look at places from all over the world, sort of off the main roads type of thing. GeoGuessr is the name of the app. And basically you get to see that pretty much all around the world, you know, no matter where you go, things look very similar most of the time. And so you'd be surprised on how easy it is to get several different places confused. So that app has been a lot of fun, kind of an eye-opening app. We've talked about geocaching recently. Geocaching app is something that I use. I use TripAdvisor once in a while, and I use it more for my summer job that I'm working at. I keep track, like I mentioned before, I work at a major tourist attraction, so I keep track of our reviews on that TripAdvisor area. And I want to make sure that my employees are doing their best, and that we keep our 5-star rating to the best of our abilities on that app. We take it very seriously. We want our customer interaction to be top notch. And the supervisors that I work with, myself included, we really take to heart those good reviews that we're treating the customers right. And we want to make sure that that stays that way. So that is kind of does it for most of the apps. I do have a couple of GPS maps for hiking, Maps 3D and Gaia GPS, that are great for hiking tools that will track your distance through major hikes, especially if you're out in the wilderness. Always having a GPS device is a great thing to do. And you can also keep track of your distances as well. I have some health apps that I use, Map My Hike and Map and My Fitness Pal. Both of those I used to use more than I do. I probably should get back into using them again in the future. But a wide range of apps that I use, including, you know, e-reader apps like the Kindle app, and it all depends on exactly what it is that I need to do at the moment. And so that's what got me interested in doing future iOS type shows. And like I said, it won't be every week, but I'd like to sort of explore the App Store a little bit more. The App Store has made huge progress over the last several iOS releases, and it's becoming a little easier to find those apps that are sort of in the wild, that are less known. And maybe I'd like to showcase some of those, try them out for a little bit, and then bring them up on the show if I think that you can use those apps in various settings. So that I'm going to do whenever I have the urge to do it. It will be very sporadic. I'm not exactly sure when the next one will come out. But I wanted to dive deep in iOS because I haven't had a chance to do that recently. Speaking of podcast apps, the Downcast app is what I use primarily. I've tried other apps. I always come back to Downcast. That's just where I've always been, and I just like the app. Some people have their preferences of apps as well. I also have the Audible app for audiobooks. Okay, so let's talk about winding things up. This has gone actually a little longer than I expected. It's been, I'm sure, kind of crazy to follow, as those of you who are listening, if you've been listening. We all have those apps that we use every day. If whether you're using Android or iOS, let me know what you're using. I'd be really curious. You can send me an email, mrptechreviews@gmail.com. I'd be really curious, and some other apps available out there. I know in the Discord chat room, we have been talking on and off about other projects, other types of messaging apps, other types of social networks that I would like to get into. I'm getting to those. As I mentioned last week, starting the new summer job. This week went pretty well. I started off really busy, but I learned to take a step back and not overexert myself like I normally do, letting some of the other staff do take on some of the challenges that we have. Next week is when our busy summer season starts, so hopefully we'll be able to keep going with the podcast, and I really hope to record one every week this summer. If not, if I miss a week, like I said, I'll be back when I can. But that, I think, is going to do it for this week. I hope you enjoyed just taking a look at some of these apps. Maybe there's one out there that you're not using. Some of them are pretty popular apps, but in the future, I'd like to talk more about less popular apps and just try to get the word out for them. So that's going to do it for this week, guys. I'm looking forward to next week, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time.